I invite you to take your Bibles again and turn with me to that portion of Scripture we read previously, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, as you're turning up, I just say a thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning to Mr. Brown, the session. And this has been a real year of learning, and I have learned a lot with the visitation and with advice from Mr. Brown, and also sitting in the session and committee meetings and seeing how they are conducted. It's one thing to be taught in the classroom, but it's an entirely different experience to be in the midst of it and to see how things are done decently and in order. And I definitely have learned a lot this year, and I'm very thankful for it. Just read one verse with you. It is the verse 18 of Matthew chapter 13. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. We do want to consider this parable this morning and what the Lord said about it and the interpretation he also gave to it. And so let's bow together in a word of prayer, and we'll ask the Lord he might speak to our hearts even this morning. Our Father and our God in heaven, Lord, we do acknowledge this morning how we need the help of the Lord. We desire, Lord, to be like those from the church at Thessalonica. It was said concerning them that they sounded forth the word of the Lord. And we ask, O Lord, this morning that you would give us power, that you would give us help, that, Lord, that there might be, O Lord, a demonstration this morning of what it is for a man to come full of the Holy Ghost and to bring the word of God. Lord, you know, you have laid this word upon our hearts. We believe it is for someone here this morning. But we do ask that you would give us the help that we need to preach the word of God. Take away the nerves from our heart that would try to cripple us, O Lord. And we pray that everything we would say and do might be for the honor and the glory of the Lord. For we ask these things in thy precious name. Amen. In the work of evangelism, there are various responses that are often given when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. Some people would say, I'll hear you again tomorrow. Some people outrightly would say, I never want to hear you again. Others perhaps would react more positively, and they would say, well, yes, I want to receive that message, and I want to be saved. But often whenever we go out to evangelize, there are many who, instead of reacting positively to the gospel message, they will react negatively to the gospel message. And sometimes it can be quite confusing to us, especially whenever we would look at individuals who have grown up in the same family, or they've grown up in the same environment, or they've grown up with the same opportunities. And out of perhaps two people in the same family, the same environment, and the same opportunity, one will receive the gospel and the other will reject the gospel. And we can go, well, how can this be? How can it be that people who will grow up with the same opportunities will go on two completely different paths? Well, in Matthew chapter 13, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling a parable to his disciples and to the congregation that has gathered. And through this parable, he is going to teach his disciples how people are going to respond to the gospel in different ways. And not just how they're going to respond, but also why they're going to respond in this certain way. Now, in the parable of the sower, there was really four different components that make up this parable. There's first of all, if you notice with me there in verse number 2, or it's verse number 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And the first component is the sower himself. And the sower is the evangelist, the one who would take the precious seed, the word of God, and he would seek to go out into the world, out into the field of this worldwide, and he would sow the gospel seed. But then there is the seed itself. It is the word of God. And over in Luke chapter 8, in the verse number 11, we find there the really, it tells us what the word of God is. Look at verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And that is a corresponding chapter with Matthew chapter 13. So we have the sower, we have the seed, but we also have the story itself. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he tells this story in the form of a parable. And the parable comes forth and it has a twofold application to those who are going to hear. For one percentage of the people, it's going to be a means of judgment to them. For they're going to hear this parable, but they're not going to know what it means. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives this parable as a means of judgment to those who will not understand, who will not heed, who do not really want to accept the truth. But it also comes as a means of revelation. It's going to reveal truth to those who are the Lord's. It's going to instruct them. It's going to lead them. It's going to show them the great problem, which is the problem of the heart. Then there is the fourth component. It is the soils. There's the sower, the seed, the story, and then the soils. And really here throughout this entire parable, the very central aspect of this whole parable, the central focus is the soils itself. And really the soil represents to us the condition or the type of the heart of man. And it is through the soil, and depending on the soil, or depending on the condition of man's heart, will then come the reaction to the gospel, or then come from that the response that man will give to the gospel. You know, sometimes the unbeliever might say, well, do you know what? I'm not going to get right with God. I'm not going to get saved because I don't like the sower. I don't like the sower. I don't like the evangelist. I don't like the preacher. But you know, this morning, it's not the evangelist and it's not the sower that is holding you back from getting right with God. Some might even say, well, do you know what? I don't like the seed. I don't like the message that the preacher's giving to me. Let me say this morning, it's not the message that is holding you back from getting right with the Lord. Some might even say, well, I don't want the story. I don't like the style of preaching. I don't like how he presents the message of the gospel. But you know, the problem this morning that is what is holding you back from getting right with the Lord, it's not the sower, it's not the seed, it's not even the preaching, it's the soil, it's the heart. This morning, the heart is the problem. And you might be here this morning for years, and for years now, week after week, you've heard the gospel being presented to you, but you've rejected the gospel. Let me say to you, the reason why you rejected the gospel was because there's a problem with the condition of your heart. And I want this morning, very briefly, to focus in on the four conditions of the soil here. And from that, we will see then the four reactions that there will be to the gospel message. So the first soil that I want you to notice this morning is the hardened soil. Matthew 13, the verse number 4, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." Now, what is the wayside here? Well, the land of Israel was a very agricultural land. And it was a land really made up of fields or rectangular fields. And in order for the farmer or the sower to make his way from field to field, or even for travelers to get around the countryside, they would normally walk along these waysides or these pathways that were used to divide up the fields into rectangular acres of ground. Now, these paths or these waysides were normally around 3 feet wide. And the sower would have walked over it time and time and time again. And because he was walking over the wayside, his feet would have compacted down the dirt. And because of the dryness of the land of Israel and the lack of moisture, these waysides or these pathways would have become like footpaths or pavements. So we would understand. And the farmers would go out, and at the time of plowing the field, they would go round through the field and they would plough up the ground to cultivate the soil, but they wouldn't plough up the pathways. They would leave these hardened waysides round the edge of the field that they could travel around the sides of the field. And so the sower would go out and he would have the seed in his hand, and he would take the seed and he would sow the seed onto the soil. But some of that soil, instead of going into the good soil where the sower intended, it would land on these hardened footpaths. The seed would land there and would just sit there because it was so hard it couldn't penetrate down into the soil. And the Lord Jesus Christ, if you turn over with me there to the verse number 19, he gives then the interpretation. And this morning to us is not a means of judgment, this parable. It's a means of revelation. Because here we have the interpretation. Here Christ wants us to know the condition of our hearts. He wants us to look within. Here in verse number 19, he tells us the interpretation of the hardened soil. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside." And the interpretation is this: the soil, or the hardened soil, is a picture of the hardened sinner's heart. He hears the gospel time and time again, and he sees and he hears evangelist after evangelist coming to sow the seed of the gospel in his heart. But over the years, his heart has become hard. His heart has become resistant to the seed of the gospel. And so whenever the seed is sown in his heart, it simply lands there. It doesn't penetrate down beneath into the very depths of a soul. And so what happens? Well, it tells us here that the wicked one, the fowl of the air, he comes in and he sees the seed that is sitting upon the heart, and he comes and he snatches it away. The wicked one here is the devil. But we need to ask ourselves this question: how does the devil steal the seed? We have that picture in our head of the fowl of the air swooping down, and he sees the seed in the wayside, and he picks it up and he eats it and he takes it away. But how does the devil, the fowl of the air, steal the seed from your heart and from mine? The devil, if you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Read there: "In whom the god of this world," that's the devil, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And the devil seeks to come into your life, dear unbeliever, and he will attempt and he will try to blind you to your need of the gospel. And the devil can use various means in order to blind you to your need of Jesus Christ. He uses false evidence. He uses false teachers. He uses the fear of man. And how often has it been, perhaps, dear Christian, you went out to witness and you sought to bring that person to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would say to you, "Well, you know what, I'm just not convinced of the Bible. I heard some stuff about it. I watched a couple of videos, and I just don't believe that the Bible is absolutely true." The devil uses false evidence. Or perhaps you go to someone and they say, "Well, which form of Christianity do I believe? I've been talking to the Mormons. I've been talking to the Jehovah's Witnesses." And the devil can use false teachers to harden the heart and to blind the individual to their need of Christ. But he also uses the fear of man. Perhaps even here this morning, as you would think, if I was to get right with Jesus Christ, and you're thinking to yourself, "Perhaps I could get saved this morning. Perhaps I ought to get saved this morning." But the fear of man builds up in your heart, and you think to yourself, "What will it cost me? I'll go into work tomorrow and I'll be laughed at. I'll be mocked. I'll be scorned." Let me say to you this morning, that is the devil. That is the devil trying to steal the seed. And I know that even this morning, when the gospel is preached here in this meeting, there will be those who will leave. I trust not, but I believe there will. There will be those who will leave, and their hearts will have been hardened to the gospel, and there'll be no further out that door, and the devil will be attempting to steal away the word. I wonder, am I describing your heart here this morning? Exhortation after exhortation has come to you, but it means nothing. Your heart is hard. The devil is stealing away the seed. But I want you to notice with me this morning the second type of soil given to us. Matthew chapter 13 in the verse number 5, it says, "Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth." Now we have to understand here what is meant by stony places. I remember whenever I was younger in our farm at home, whenever the contractor would have come to plough the field, and we'd have ploughed up the field, cultivated the land, and then I was given the job to stand on the link box, if you know what that is, in the back of a tractor, and you had to go along up the field and you had to pick up the stones. And in the midst of the soil there would have been plenty of stones. It was stony land. But that's not what is meant here when it says it's a stony place. It's speaking here about shallow soil. That this soil really is only about a foot deep. There's not much substance to it. You go down and you go down. You only go down that short space and then you hit hard rock. It's shallow soil. And the seed, the sower sows it. It goes out and it goes into the shallow soil, and immediately it takes root and it begins to spring up. And it grows taller and it grows quicker than all the other plants around about it. But why is this? Because it's in shallow soil. And the reason for that is, whenever the seed begins to grow, the roots go down. But because it's not deep earth, there's not much earth, the roots very quickly hit the hard rock. And the plant then, instead of putting its energy into going down and having deep roots in order to get moisture, the plant puts all its energy into going up. And so that's why it grows quicker and taller than all the other plants round about it. And for someone who is standing at the side of the field, everything looks good. These plants are growing up. Everything looks to be fine. But there's a problem. There's not much earth. And so, when these plants would grow up and the sun would come out. Because they don't have roots, because there isn't much soil, they don't get moisture, and they get burnt up and they die. Shallow soil produces short growth. And the Lord turns around and he gives us again the interpretation in verse number 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For in tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And the shallow soil here represents the shallow individual's heart. Oh, they hear the gospel, and because they're shallow and because they're fickle, they immediately receive the gospel. And they'll say, I'll become a Christian. I'll follow the Lord. And for a time, everything looks well. For a time, everything goes well. But then something happens. The sun comes out. The sun here is described as tribulation or persecution. And whenever the sun comes out and that individual begins to be persecuted for their faith, they begin to feel under pressure. They begin to feel the tightening of society round about them and the pressure that has been put on them by the world. Suddenly their enthusiasm ends. Suddenly their involvement in the work of God ceases. Why does this happen? It's because they've got a shallow heart. They made a shallow decision. They had received Christ, but they hadn't counted the cost. They had made a mere intellectual decision. There was truly no change within their heart. Everything was just an external show with no internal reality. There was no depth to their conversion. There was no depth of reality to their faith. And how is it that there are those at large and broad in Christianity, and they make a hasty decision, and they make a quick decision, and they jump on the bandwagon, and they say, I'm going to embrace Jesus Christ, I'm going to follow the Lord, and they only last for a time. And then they're falling away. Why is that? It is because of the shallowness of their heart. And this morning, perhaps you've been here. You have even made that decision. And you've said, you know what, I made a decision in my younger years. I was going to follow the Lord. I thought I was committed. I was going to follow it through. I got involved even in the work, but it only lasted for a time. And here in this morning, I find myself in a place where I'm not walking with the Lord. Let me point you to the problem. The problem wasn't the sower. The problem wasn't the seed. The problem wasn't the story or the preaching of the word. The problem was your heart. The shallowness of the heart. You see, true commitment and true salvation is marked by perseverance, not by profession. True salvation is marked by perseverance, not by profession. And this morning, we'd urge you, the gospel comes as a commitment, as a continual repentance. You have to continually be turning from your sin. It is a lifelong commitment for you to follow Jesus Christ, to deny yourself, take up the cross, and say, I will follow the Lord Jesus Christ right on through into eternity. But then we have the third type of soil this morning. We had the hardened soil and the shallow soil. But now I want you to notice with me, thirdly, in verse 7, we find the thorny soil. The thorny soil. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And here what we see is here that the sower went out. He stood on the wayside, he took a seed, and he looked and he saw some what he thought to be was good soil, and he took the seed and he threw it into the soil. And that soil began to grow, or that seed began to grow. But along with the seed or the plant growing, something else also grew. The thorns began to grow. And for a while you couldn't see it. For a time you didn't know what was happening. Even at the start, you didn't know it was there, but the plant grew and the thorns grew. And the thorns grew up and wrapped themselves around the plant and choked it, broke the stalk, took the life from out of it. You see, the problem was this: the soil hadn't been weeded out. The soil hadn't been cultivated properly. There were things within the soil that would kill any of the life of the plant. And the Lord then in verse 22 gives us the interpretation. He says there in verse 22, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." The thorns here are described as two things. They're first of all described as the cares of this world. And there are things that can enter into our lives, things that would come in, and they're described as the cares of this world. The love of sin, the love of pleasure, the want of satisfaction in earthly things. And they can creep into the heart and they choke the word of God. Oh, that individual might have started out zealous and passionate. I am going to give up everything and I'm going to follow the Lord. But after a time, the true reality of their heart is shown. They haven't cast off their sin. They haven't cast off their earthly desires. They begin to make little idols in their life. Things that come before the Lord. Things that are put ahead of God. Instead of being at the prayer meeting, or perhaps they're out playing football. Instead of attending the Sunday evening service, they've got family day to sort out. And the cares of this world enter in. Begin to choke whatever decision, whatever attempt they had to follow the Lord that was there. Man is great at taking the insignificant things and making them idols. Man is great at taking insignificant things and making them idols. And that ought to be a warning to all of us here this morning that we are all in danger of making things in our lives idols, of bringing into our hearts the cares of this world that will choke the seed. Then it's also described, the thorns, as the deceitfulness of riches. Those who have been deceived into thinking that their real treasure, that their real hope, that their real love, that their real satisfaction can be found in the things of this world. And so they turn their attention away from the Lord and they put their attention into time and they put their energy into this world and they forget about being involved in the works for the life that is to come. The deceitfulness of riches enters into their heart and they turn away from the things of the Lord. This soil, the thorny soil, presents to us a picture of the false convert. You see, everything looked right at the start. Everyone thought the plant was growing okay, but the true reality was this: the heart had never been changed. The soil had never been cultivated. Now, there are those who would teach today that really this is showing a picture of a person who needs to have two experiences with the Lord. And the first experience will be that, they'll get saved or justified, their sins will be forgiven. But they can carry on from that moment and they can carry on in their sin. They can carry on with the cares of this world within their heart. They can carry on in the deceitfulness of riches until another experience, where in a sense they are weeded out. They bow the knee and they accept Christ as Lord. And there were those that would teach that you not just need to be saved at one point, but you also have to need another experience of coming to Christ. This is not a picture. This third type of soil is not a picture of a carnal Christian. It's not a picture of that. It is a picture of someone who has made a false profession of faith. Someone who externally looked okay, they had a profession, they never had a true possession of Christ. Their heart was never changed. As it says in 1 John chapter 2, in the verse number 15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." It can't be put any more plainly than that. If you're here this morning and you're trying to live a double life, you're trying to keep up to the profession that you have made, but you know within your heart of hearts you've never been changed, you've never truly been born again, your profession's a false profession, let me point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say, He is the only one that can change the heart, and He is able to change the heart. Because fourthly, we go on to the good soil. We see that there is good soil. among the hard soil and the shallow soil and the thorny soil, there is some good soil. There will be those who will be prepared to receive the word of God and who will grow and who will follow on with the Lord. In verse number 8 of Matthew chapter 13, "But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold." Now, in order for there to be good soil, the farmer, the sower, had to do something. He had to go out to that soil that previously was filled with, or was shallow, that was previously filled with thorns, and he had to go out to that soil and he had to cultivate it. He had to get the plow, he had to plow it up, he had to break down the soil and make the soil ready for the reception of the seed. You see, the heart of the sinner is not naturally prepared for the receiving of the word of God. This morning, if you have come into this meeting and you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have not been converted, let me say that this morning your heart is not ready to receive the word of God. Your heart needs to be changed. Your heart needs to be broken up. It needs to be given, or the shallowness needs to be taken away, and it needs to be weeded out of all the things that would choke the word of God within your heart. You may ask the question, well, how can I receive? How can I receive a heart that is ready? That is ready for the receiving of the word of God? Let me say and carry on with the picture of the parable of the soils. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to come. And the Holy Spirit will do the work of the sower. He will come into your heart. He will break up the hardness. He will take away the shallowness. He will weed it out of all the things that will ruin and corrupt the heart. And he can prepare and give you a heart that is ready for the receiving of the gospel. A heart that will be converted. A heart that is changed. A heart that is born again. A heart that has been saved by the grace of God. And that can only be done by the work of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it yourself. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you try to become a better person, you cannot do it yourself. You need to cry on to God this morning. Ask Him to change you. You ask Him to produce in your heart the good soil that will bring forth the fruit. Notice very quickly and very briefly something interesting about the fruit. It says there in verse number 8 that some brought forth 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now in the land of Israel, a bumper harvest, a great harvest, would have been someone who would have received around 10-fold. A 10-fold harvest would have been a great, really good harvest. But the Lord Jesus Christ here, He employs exaggeration. And He employs exaggeration of a harvest that is 30, 60, 100-fold. He employs the impossible in order to show that within the Christian's life, within the heart that has been truly converted and truly changed by the Spirit of God, there will be no doubt that there will be fruit produced by that person's life. There'll be no buts, no maybes, not even just for a short time. There will be true, consistent fruit. This fruit, for your own personal interest, is found in Galatians 5 and 22, the fruits of the Spirit. Perhaps read them in your own time. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. These will be the fruits that will be produced and cultivated within the person's heart who has been changed by the power of God. And this really, this morning, is the acid test of your salvation. This is a test of whether you have truly been converted or not. What is the product of your life? What works are you producing? There is no such thing as someone who would claim to be a Christian and who can claim the name of Christ and yet live a life of consistent, continual sin. You might as well say or call a circle a square. It's impossible. But for someone's heart to be truly changed, they will produce fruit. It will be visible. It will be clear. Let me ask, dear Christian, this morning, is your life producing fruit? Not just perhaps some 10-fold, but 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Is your life continually producing fruit for the Lord? You know, in conclusion this morning, there will be various responses that will be given. Some will react positively to the gospel message. Others will react negatively to the gospel message. But I want to remind you this morning that if you're to leave the house of God, and if you're to go out and you're to say, well, I'm going to reject the message, I'm going to not come to the Lord, I'm not going to ask the Lord to change my heart, that this morning you're not rejecting the message because of the sower. You're not rejecting the message because of the seed. You're not rejecting the message because of the story or the parable that it was told in. You're rejecting the message because your heart has never been changed. The problem this morning is the heart. And this morning we want to get the heart dealt with. And your heart can be dealt with if you come to the Lord. If you'd ask the Holy Spirit to change you, to create in your heart a heart that is renewed, changed, restored, a heart that is cleansed and purified, with the hardness taken away. Dear unbeliever, this morning, the Lord will do it. The Lord can do it. He is willing to do it. Will you come to Him this morning and ask Him to change your heart? I'm going to pass over to the Reverend Brown.
Brother, for that word from the Lord to all of our hearts, and may it bear good fruit. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the word of God today. We know that Thy word says that keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It is so vital, so central. And Father, we pray as Thou dost look into our hearts today, that thou wilt find good soil, fertile ground, for the word of God to take root and to bear fruit unto thy glory and to our good. Bring souls to salvation, thy people through to real spiritual productivity that will have an impact upon not only our lives and our family and our home, but will permeate society. In Jesus' name and for His glory we pray. Amen.